This being the 4th of July today, a good question to begin with would be this. Where are we in Bible prophecy? But an even better question would be, where do we stand as a nation in the scope of following the Bible, the Word of God? And actually, both of these questions go together. Because where we stand in Bible prophecy is answered by where we stand following the Word of God as a nation. The founding fathers of this nation took into consideration God's Word as they developed our Constitution and steered the course of our country. They actually wholeheartedly took a look at God's Word, used it as they begin to develop our Constitution and shape the form and destiny of our nation. I'd like to show this by reading some of the Founding Fathers' quotes, actually just three of them here this afternoon. First of all, George Washington, the first president of the United States, said this, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." So George Washington recognized the importance of God's Word as it pertained to the formation of our country. Notice that he said, not only govern this nation, but govern the world. It's impossible without using God's Word. John Adams, the nation's second president, wrote this, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people, and yet it's not looked at in that particular way today by our leaders. John Adams, James Madison, who helped put together our Constitution and who was the fourth president, said this, "We have staked the future of all our political institutions upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments." To govern ourselves according to the Ten Commandments. Many of our founding fathers of our country spoke boldly as they begin to find the principles and put together the principles of our government, and they used the Scriptures, the Bible. Now, over 200 years later, that kind of thinking by our leaders has changed drastically, setting aside and ignoring God's Word. On this day, a national holiday for our country, evaluating it in relation to the Word of God, we can ask, where have we gone over the course of our nation's history with regard to following the Word of God? Where have we gone when we look back at the history of our nation and come forward to today? Well, I think that we would agree that spiritually speaking, we have gone downhill, and we are going downhill even faster. And as we fall further down, spiritually speaking, the effects have already been shown and unfortunately will be even more profound. There is a time-tested principle that holds true for nations, for our nation, and for us as individuals as well. And that principle is, there is a cause for every effect. There is a cause for every effect. God allows people and nations to reap what they sow. And unfortunately, many of the calamities that we suffer are the results of our own sins or the sins of the nation collectively. It's called suffering the consequences. Turn with me, please, to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia, and he wrote in these scriptures that we're going to look at about physical and spiritual sowing. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You know, if you plant corn, you expect corn to come up, to harvest corn. That's a natural law. It's a natural law to reap what we sow. And it's true in so many other areas as well. Verse number 8. For he who sows to his flesh, now the Apostle Paul takes a natural law of reaping what you sow and applies it to the spiritual. Verse number 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And we have a choice. And people have choice to go God's way or to go against God. I like what the Life Application Study Bible adds to verse number 8. It says this. Every action has results. If you plant to please your own desires, you'll reap a crop of sorrow and evil. If you plant to please God, you'll reap joy and everlasting life. The title of today's sermon is The Cause and Effect Principle. The Cause and Effect Principle. Today we will examine the cause and effect principle, one of the principles not only of Bible prophecy, but a huge spiritual principle of life. A spiritual principle of life for nations and individuals as well. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia here in the New Testament, talking about reaping what you sow, and his writing is based upon other scriptures found in the Old Testament, because this principle, the cause and effect principle, has been around since the beginning of time, since the beginning of time of man on the earth. Adam and Eve, our forefathers, followed the serpent, Satan the devil, and mankind has reaped the consequences since that time. Let's go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3, and take a look at the consequences that our forefathers reaped. Genesis chapter 3, where this principle was first set in motion. And you know the story that Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, and first Eve and then Adam took of the fruit of the wrong tree, and they reaped the punishment, the consequences from God because of that decision, the choice that they made. Let's take a look at these consequences. In verses 14 and 15, the consequences are given to the serpent. But now notice verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth your children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Verse number 17. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So the consequences for going against God and following the way of the serpent, Satan the devil, was that they would have nothing but toil the rest of their lives. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And we see that not only throughout history, but even our day and time. When you go out and take a look at the crops, and sometimes they're full of blight, lots of pests and insects that are out there. Things that the man has suffered because of the choice that Adam and Eve made. Verse number 18, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face, verse number 19, you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Here's the consequence that they would suffer of death, because of the choice that they had made. Again, the cause was the wrong choice, going against God, and the effect was death. But there was even another greater consequence that they would suffer. Notice verse number 23 through 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken, expelled from the Garden of Eden. Then verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, which turned every way, to guard the way to the tree of life. So another, even more immediate consequence, besides death, was that they were expelled from the Garden of Eden and cut off from the tree of life. Cut off from the tree of life. Access to eternal life. Again, the cause, disobedience to God. The effect, death, and also cut off from the tree of life. Another Old Testament scripture, which we can see this principle of cause and effect, reaping what you sow. Let's turn to Job. Let's go to Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4. And you know the account of Job, that he was suffering with boils. Satan said that to God that he was an upright man, but if you'd let me have at him, that I can make him turn around. I'm putting it into my own words. But Job was suffering under boils here. Let's go to Job chapter 4. One of his friends came along, and he tries to get to the bottom of why Job was suffering. And he thinks that he's helping him, and he begins to give him some advice. Job chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 7 through 9. This is actually Eliphaz, the Temanite. It's interesting that this particular individual was a descendant of Esau, and he's the one that's going to try to get to the bottom of why Job was suffering here, and gives him some advice. And while he's speaking to him, he tells him of the cause and effect principle. Job chapter 4, and verse number 7, remember now, this is Eliphaz talking to Job, remember now, whoever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright ever cut off? So he's saying to Job, stop and think for a moment here now. If you're innocent, you won't get punished. The innocent or the righteous don't get punished. Of course, he was wrong in his particular thinking, because there are cases where the innocent do have to suffer. But he's trying to get to the bottom of this. Then notice verse number 8. Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. So he was telling him that whatever you sow, that you reap. But notice this expression here, plow iniquity. That's a proverbial expression. And it gives you the idea of, you know, if you see a great big giant plow going into the earth, that he's telling Job that you must be really doing something really, really bad here. Iniquity here comes from a Hebrew word, which means a course of bad conduct. And the word trouble here comes from a Hebrew word, which is talking about sin in the light of trouble. So what he's saying, paraphrased, is those who plow bad conduct and sow sin reap the same. Now this particular friend of Job's was being harsh on him, very, very harsh. But the principle here, what he was saying to Job, is true for all of us human beings. What we sow, we reap. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. This is a scripture that contains a warning. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 3. Proverbs 22 verse number 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So two different individuals here. One that's prudent, one that's wise. Also the other individual, he's a simple man, one who is not wise. The prudent individual is shrewd. He has good sense. He's a product of training and wisdom and discipline. And where do we get wisdom and discipline? From God's Word. That's what a prudent individual, that's where he gets his wisdom, is from God's Word. But the simple, described here, that passes on and is punished, is one who is untaught. Untaught. Spiritually naive and untaught. And you know that describes our world today. Spiritually naive and untaught. Not listening to or adhering to God's Word. As the Bible Knowledge Commentary puts it, it says this: the one individual is aware of danger and wisely avoids it. The other may see the danger, but he puts no effort to avoid it, so he suffers for it. And you know, there's a lot of suffering, a lot of pain in the world, and agony in the world today. We see it in our news reports. And so much of this suffering is because of spiritual ignorance. Spiritual ignorance. Not knowing God's Word and godly principles. God gives people the freedom of choice. He does not force us to go one way or the other. We are free to choose the path we go down. And that includes nations as well, not only individuals. So this is the 4th of July today, our national holiday, where we recognize the independence of our nation. So let me ask this question. Where is the state of our nation, spiritually speaking? Where is the state of our nation, spiritually speaking? You know, once a year, the president of our country gives a speech on the State of the Union called the State of the Union Address, where he gets in front of the whole country, in front of the television cameras and the news reporters. He gives the State of the Union as far as the economy of the country, as far as world affairs and national affairs. Spells it all out, the state of our nation. Where is the state of our nation, spiritually speaking? One of the Psalms gives us a picture of where we are at as a nation, spiritually speaking, and it expresses the cause and effect principle. Let's go there now to Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. This is a psalm that's attributed to David, and he points out those who are enemies against him, and he sums up the rest of his thoughts here by talking about the nations who are against God. Psalm chapter 9, and let's begin reading in verse number 15. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they have made, and the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. Just like setting a trap, your own trap, and you get caught in your own trap that you have set. The New International Version reads like this, verse 15, the nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net that they have hidden. Verse number 15, the last part in the Tanakh version reads like this: their own foot is caught in the net they have hidden. They've set out a trap, a net, gotten their own foot caught in it. And David, he's talking about how the wicked would fall into their own pit and net. Verse number 16, the Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The Lord's judgment. God is the one that sees everything, and he's the ultimate judge. He rewards those who obey him and punishes those who are in disobedience to him, bestowing blessings upon the righteous and punishments upon the ungodly. Last part of verse number 16. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared in his own hands. The idea here is that the wicked is the cause of their own destruction. They set out their own trap, their own net, and they fall into it. Verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Notice that. All the nations that forget God. The Tanakh version, the last part of verse 17, reads like this. All the nations, whatever nation, that ignore God fall into their own trap. And that is the state of our nation today. One that is ignoring, forgetting God. We ask the question, where is the state of our nation, spiritually speaking, today? This scripture describes it, one that is forgetting God. I'd like to read from three different commentaries about the last part of verse 17, because I think it even shows this even more. First of all, Matthew Henry, the last part of verse 17, says this, "Forgetfulness of God is the cause of all the wickedness of the wicked." So forgetfulness is the cause, and wickedness is the effect. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, "Not mere ignorance, but willful ignoring of God." Not just ignorance, but willful ignorance of God. And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown goes on to say this, "The characteristic of the anti-Christian apostasy in the last days, of which symptoms are already seen in the world." One more, Barnes notes, "The idea seems to be that they might have known him, but they did not choose to retain him in their knowledge, but gave themselves up to a life of idolatry and sin." All of these commentaries confirm this thought of the last part of verse 17. The nations that ignore God, it's the cause of them falling into the trap. Willful ignoring of God. They might have known him, professed to be following him, but they choose to go the other way. In other words, we might profess to being a Christian nation, but not choosing to know him by disobedience and reaping the consequences. And we're going to see that in the future. You don't have to turn there, but in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Not knowledge, physical knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. And we're seeing that happen in our day and time. God spoke to the ancient Israelites of the cause and effect principle and warned Israel not to forget him and the consequences that would result. And we see this sadly today. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 20. This is not only a warning, but it's also a prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today." Verse 12, "Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied." So he's talking about the many blessings that the Israelites would have, and the blessings that our nation has had in the last 200 years as well. Verse 14, here's the warning. "When your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end." Verse 17, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." And that's what happens when prosperity comes upon a country. Prosperity and wealth can lead to rejection of God and the focus on the self. the heart lifted up, the attitude of self-sufficiency. And God was warning the people that in their future, their blessings would depend upon the choices that they would make. Continuing on, verse 18, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify you this day, to you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." And Bible prophecy tells us that there is punishment coming upon our peoples for disobedience. And we're going to look at some of these prophecies in just a few moments. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. Daniel chapter 12, the first couple verses talk about a time of trouble like never seen on any nation before. And it's coming because of disobedience. You know, I read from some quotes from some of the founding fathers of our country, early American history. And I read that there was a general desire, and you can read that for yourself in the things that they have written and the things that were in their heart. There was a general desire to have God's word in our country by means of the leadership. But sadly today, choices are being made that do not reflect that same type of thinking of having God in our lives. And the wrong choices that we make as humans are the cause of most of the suffering that there is in this world. Many tragedies and sufferings can be traced to our actions and decisions. And in this world today, there is freedom of choice, and bad choices result in bad results. You know, we all know that this Supreme Court decision came down a little over a week ago, basically saying that gay marriage is the law of the land now, that no state in the union can stop it. And it was a very close decision, 5-4 decision. Some of the judges that were against this particular ruling, they always have the chance to write out their dissent against the decision that has been made, their thoughts on it. And I've got just the last part of a dissent by Judge Anthony Thomas that I'd like to read for you, his dissent on this particular ruling. And here's what he said, talking about the ruling that was made by the Supreme Court. He says this: "It distorts the principles on which this nation was founded. Its decision will have inestimable consequences for our Constitution and society." What he said there in this last part of this dissent, in that sentence that I read to you, is that there are going to be consequences in the future in our society from this decision that was made. And he is so right. And Bible prophecy confirms that as well. You don't have to turn there, but you've heard me say, and I know you've heard this throughout the years, that there's two chapters in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26, the blessings and cursings chapter, where God told ancient Israel, if they follow Him in obedience, they would be blessed. Disobedience results in cursings. And the descendants of the Israelites today are under that same blessing and cursing that God gave. Follow Him in obedience and be blessed. For disobedience, cursing. Decisions that affect not only people now, but will affect descendants in the future. Sin against God. And sin is the major cause of suffering. And so much of it could be avoided by obeying God. I asked the question earlier, right, where do we stand in Bible prophecy on this July 4th as a nation as far as obeying God? Well, let's take a look at a couple scriptures now. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's get the answer of where we stand today as a nation as far as following the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. The title of this section of scripture is The Cause for Judgment. In Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah is describing punishment that would be coming upon the ancient nation of Israel because of their sins. They were going to go into captivity. Jeremiah chapter 6. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. What Jeremiah is describing here is a type of crossroads that a person comes to. A crossroads. One road to go down or another road to go down. Two paths. A choice that this particular travel has. And what he's talking about here to the nation of Israel is the spiritual path. One choice to go down the path towards life and the other path towards death. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. He says, you're at this crossroads. Choose life. Choose the right path. The ancient paths, the old paths. In other words, the way of repentance, reconciliation, fear and love of God, God's way. Choose that path, is what Jeremiah is saying, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Choose that particular way, Jeremiah says. But notice what the response of Israel was in the last part of verse 16. But they said, we will not walk in it. And that's where our society is today. Ignoring God, as we read earlier in the psalm. Willfully ignoring God and choosing to go away from His scripture, His word. Verse 17. Also, beyond, you know, giving you the path to choose. Also, I set watchmen over you saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. God sent the prophets to ancient Israel to warn them, the warning trumpet, to tell them to choose the right way, to follow God, to repent. And yet they notice what their answer was. They said, the last part of 17, we will not listen. Just like our society today. We don't want to listen to the warning message that's going out. And you know, our warning message has been going out for over 50 years now. Still going out today. And most people are ignoring it. They've got their ears stopped up. And we see that. Our message today going on deaf ears. Verse 18. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. What Jeremiah is doing here is calling the nations and the earth and the congregation to witness against the people who refuse to walk with God, to choose that path towards God. Behold, here's the witness now. I will certainly bring calamity on this people. Punishment is coming for disobedience. The fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. The prophecy of what will happen, calamity, is the reason, because they have not heeded my words, nor his law. Reaping what they sow. Expositor's commentary adds this. The people refuse to walk rightly and find rest. They also refuse to listen to the alarming sound of the trumpet, denying that any danger existed. There's not any danger. We don't have anything to worry about. We know where we're going. And yet calamity is coming. Let's take a look at another scripture to show where we are in this day and time as far as Bible prophecy is concerned and how we are obeying as a nation. Let's go back a couple pages to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, this time verses 18 through 25. Jeremiah chapter 5, and again, previously in this chapter, he's talking about captivity that would come upon the nation from a nation whose language you do not know that are going to come upon you. Now notice verse number 18. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, and whenever we see that phrase, in those days, it's a trigger phrase that talks about the last days, the day before Jesus Christ comes. Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a complete end of you. In other words, not all the people are going to be destroyed through God's mercy. Verse number 19. And when it will be, and it will be when you say, why does the Lord our God do all these things to us? Then you shall answer them, just as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so you shall serve aliens in a land that is not yours. In other words, for disobedience to me, you're going to go into captivity, is what he's saying. Now notice verse number 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah. This verse number 20 tells us something of where this prophecy is directed and to whom. Because when Jeremiah was giving this prophecy, the nation of Israel, Jacob, was already gone. They were already in captivity. They had been destroyed by the nation of Assyria in 722-21 B.C. You know the history that there was two houses of Israel. The northern tribes were called the house of Israel, the house of Jacob. The southern tribe was known as the house of Judah. Jeremiah is addressing the two houses here. Jacob, known as Israel, and also Judah. But Judah was gone. Israel was gone. They couldn't hear the words of this prophecy. So who is it directed to? It's to the descendants of the house of Israel in the last days. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, verse 21, now, O foolish people, without understanding, without spiritual understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. They can read the Bible. They can hear the warning message. But they've got their eyes closed, their ears stopped up. They don't want to hear it. Willfully ignoring God. Verse 22. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? If our nation could hear God thundering those words today. Do you not fear me? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea by perpetual degree that it cannot pass beyond it by God's power. And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. A description of God's great power. Verse 23. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. Again, earlier we talked about what our nation's forefathers had a vision for our country. Steering our country in the right direction, following God's word. And yet, today, a defiant and rebellious heart, revolting and departing. Verse 24, they do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. In other words, no repentance at all. Who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, God could bless us for fearing Him and following Him. Verse 25. Your iniquities have turned these things away, the blessings, and your sins have withheld good from you. God is saying directly, because of disobedience, you're not going to have the blessings that I promise. But you very well could if you would walk and follow me. Again, we see there's a cause for every effect. And the cause is disobedience, and the effect is punishment coming upon the nation. And there is no thought of changing or repentance in the heart of the people. That's the sad part. We've been talking about the nation and where we stand as on this 4th of July, as far as following the Word of God. But this has significance as well for us as individuals, not just our nation, but us as individuals, especially because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. There is a cause for every effect. You reap what you sow. That principle is so vital for us to understand and apply in our lives as disciples. The path that we choose. Are we going to follow God or are we going to go against God? Proverbs chapter 22. Let's take a look at the wrong kind of sowing. Again, putting this down to us as disciples. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 8, the first part. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Again, iniquity, sin, going against God, reaping what we sow. A couple other scriptures, I'll just mention them. You can put them down in your notes if you'd like. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 13, it says, they have sown wheat, but reap thorns. The wrong kind of sowing. And it can affect individuals as well as nations. Another one, Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 7. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. So very important, the path that we choose, the right kind of sowing, not to go the wrong way. Let's take a look at another proverb, the right kind of sowing. Proverb chapter 11. This is the path that we should choose as individuals, as disciples of Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 18. We have a contrast here of two different individuals. Verse number 18. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. Again, the contrast between the wicked man that chooses the wrong path and those who choose the right path, righteousness will have a sure reward. That's the right kind of sowing that we need to do as individuals, as disciples of Jesus Christ. Finally, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Here's some instruction. Proverbs of Solomon, inspired by God. It's good for individuals and it's good for nations as well to understand these things. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. And what he's talking about here is spiritual understanding. And when we put it into our day and time, that's what our nation, and that's what we as individuals need. You know, we have more access to more knowledge and more books, more understanding, physical understanding than anybody has ever had in the history of mankind. We can take a look at our smartphones and we can punch in a couple of hits and we can have any kind of information at our fingertips. But that's not the vital information that's being talked about here. We're talking about spiritual understanding, to know wisdom and instruction. Spiritual understanding. Verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And where do you find true justice, judgment, and equity? In God's Word. What's in front of us, the Bible. To give prudence to the simple. And remember, the prudent man chooses the right road. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. He won't stop up his ears and his eyes. He will listen to what's being taught through God's Word. And as we equate this as disciples of God, through God's Holy Spirit, asking God to give us more of that Holy Spirit, to have more of that understanding, especially in the times of trouble that we're going to be going into. Verse number 23. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour my spirit on you. In other words, choose that right path. Follow God. And He will give you that spirit to give you help. And I will make my words known to you. The spiritual understanding that's necessary. Verse 32. For the turning of the way of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Foolish decisions that are made contrary to God's law reaps punishment. Verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Verse 33 describes those that will listen to me. God has called us as disciples to understand, and we have the opportunity to apply His word in our lives and continue to go on becoming converted individuals and examples to the rest of this world. That's what we need to apply as disciples in our nation. We need to pray for our nation that they will apply and listen to God's word as well. I mentioned the State of the Union, where we are today, as far as following God's word. I'd like to conclude the sermon today by reading from one of our booklets that we published, the United Church of God, the booklet on suffering. And the section title of this is The Causes of Misery, from page 16. And I'd like to conclude by reading this. Nations and individuals suffer many miseries because of ignorance and of disobedience to the same spiritual laws of God that Israel displayed. God's commandments are living laws with universal application, providing benefits for obedience and punishments for disobedience. Oh, that these words should be considered and heeded by our nation on this day, the 4th of July.